Or as I said, Trevor and Stephen, our technology gurus, are both at this huge mega show, and we'll talk to Trev on the phone in 15 minutes or so. But still, Gerrion's going to join me. He's a freelance journo technology commentator, specialises in cybercrime, or interest in it. And as I said, Trevor's away at that show. So don't forget, you can ask still some questions too if you want to do that. Give us a call on 13 13 32 at any stage if anything appeals to you. And I'm sure Still can answer your questions as well because he joins me on the line. G'day, mate. You're there still. Have I got you? Is there a reason why I don't have you? Probably not. No. All right, just hang on and just put him there. Are we on the right hybrid, Dave? Yeah, we are. Yeah, let's try it again. Yeah, no, not there, not on the phone. So it's 22 past three.
You don't miss a thing on the weekend with Tim Webster
on Sydney's 2UE 954.
I think I've got him now. Hello, Still Gerrion.
G'day, Tim. Yes, you have got me now.
Technology, mate.
It's wonderful stuff, yeah. It's one of our most fabulous inventions, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, it's peculiar, isn't it? Because we've got all of this stuff, all of this technology, which is quite astounding. I was trying to put in a call to a mobile phone to those Elvis guys on the train on the way to Parks yesterday. Nah, wouldn't go through.
Nah, it just sometimes... doesn't work, does it?
Just does. I mean, that's it. And that you can't put any other technological explanation on it. It just doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, mate, there's a few things to talk about, and I think we need to warn the listeners about this. And if you'd like to ask Still some questions, 13 13 32 is the number. Cheap iPads, mate, as cheap as $29.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, Tim? If something's too good to be true, it's just
generally
not
is.
True.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is the classic thing. As the scammers are coming back from holidays, you know, just like we are, they're looking around and going, okay, what are all of the kind of must-have gadgets? And for, you know, for a couple of years since the iPad has been out, it's always been, let's try and get the cheap iPad.
Yeah, sure.
And the other one we'll have to talk about today is, of course, Olympic tickets. But when it comes to all these things, you know, when you see something that's worth hundreds of dollars, as an iPad or a new mobile phone is, you know, you think $29 can't possibly be true. And the amazing thing is about the scammers is that they know that if you're feeling a little bit, you know, hey, well, let's face it, greedy, and you've already put in some of your details, then they'll try and rip even more details out of you.
Yeah, right.
You know, now, so the aim of these guys, I mean, let's face it, they're just trying to get your credit card number.
Of course they are.
And your name and address. And, you know, you think $29, fine, but you've just given your credit card details to some stranger on the internet.
Yep.
And, you know, $29 just simply isn't real.
No, it can't be. Because, look, I've got an iPad and I love the thing. I really do because at our place, my wife uses the computer for various other things and I can just nip into the lounge room, turn on the iPad and do my net banking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, mate, $29, no way. Not for that technology.
look, you know, and because so much of this is automated, it comes via spam email or it comes through a social networking site, Facebook or Twitter or so on, the bad guys have got all this automated. So they don't really care if 0.005% of people fall for this. It's cost them virtually nothing to set up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, this one we should really warn the listeners about. You can, when you say they come out of the woodwork, scammers, tickets to the Olympic Games, difficult to obtain tickets, cheap, yeah?
Yeah, I look, you know, oldie but a goodie, and tickets to the big sporting events have always been incredibly popular with the scammers because, I mean, let's face it, they're hard to get hold of. They're expensive items. I mean, even the official pricing of something like, you know, the popular sports at the Olympic Games, you're looking at hundreds of dollars for a ticket. So for someone who's desperate to get their favourite sport, they're kind of going to overlook some of the warning signs. And, you know, news has come out of London. The story the BBC had was just amazing that some sisters, you know, ganged up and said, look, let's pull our money, buy Dad some tickets to his favourite sport. And they went to their favourite search engine, which happened to be Google, searched for Olympic tickets, saw a link advertised at the top of the page, thought, yeah, that must be legitimate, ended up spending £750, would you believe? And even then, the scammers sort of like a couple of days later get in touch and say, hang on, Look, there's been a bit of a problem. We'll need you to fax through a signature as well.
Yeah, no.
And that's when the alarm bell happens,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the thing, mate. I mean, I opened up the computer here at TUE when I got in, and there's another one from somebody trying to tell me that I'm with their bank and they've got an urgent request that I contact the bank. And, you know, we make this, you know, to the listeners all the time, this plea to the listeners all the time. Banks don't do that. Banks don't send you emails. So
yeah, they'll be on the phone straight
that's
away.
Right, exactly right. Now, cybercrime, which is, you know, your gig, how about this? A Manly trader is warning everybody to be wary after his website was temporarily crippled in some high-tech extortion attempt. I mean, what do they do?
Well, this is an interesting one, and this hasn't really had a lot of profile in Australia yet, but obviously it's starting to happen. Now, what the bad guys do, I mean, I think, Jim, we can probably say you and I are old enough to remember back in the old days, you know, when places up in King's Cross and nightclubs, not that we would have ever gone ourselves.
No.
But you know, the bad guys would just say, look, if you want your business to continue, you better just put $5,000 in the brown paper bag and then nothing will happen to your kneecap.
The old protection racket. Yeah.
The old protection racket.
Yeah.
The same thing happens online. And I always stress that whenever you see a crime with cyber in front of it, with a cyber crime, it's really just the online equivalent to an oldie but a goodie that we've seen all along. And this bloke over in Manly was victim of just such a thing. And he would have, I suspect, been chosen purely at random because his website was vulnerable. They'd managed to get the password from somewhere else. So the bad guys went in, trashed his website, trashed all his email, and then started flooding his website with massive amounts of bogus requests so that it was simply overloaded and couldn't respond to anyone genuine.
Pack of bastards, said, yeah.
Yeah, and then just said, look, this is only going to stop if you pay us the money. Now, he didn't pay the money. He went to the police, to the federal police in this case, because they take care of this sort of thing, because it's usually international crime. And, you know, he talked to his technical people, and they worked out some way of at least, well, going, hey, most of these bogus requests are coming from overseas. Most of my customers are in Australia, so I'll just block all international traffic for the time being.
Yeah.
And he managed, you know, to survive it, but it certainly had a bit of impact upon his business.
Yeah.
And we've seen these done against bigger businesses. I remember one of the online gambling sites was hit in the last few hours while they were taking bets on, I think it was the Rugby World Cup. They were suddenly flooded off the internet and then 10 minutes later got a phone call saying, you know, we understand you're having trouble. Maybe you'd like to send $20,000 or $40,000 to this other address. And the bad guys are starting to drill down into smaller businesses now simply because the tools they have to do this are getting easier to use and they're semi-automated. And, well, it's just easy to do. And the bigger businesses, you know to call the police.
It's mafia online.
Yeah. Well, this guy in Manly, you know, he reckons if it had not been in the kind of Christmas close down, but if it had happened in that week before, he reckoned just being offline for that period would have cost him about $20,000 in lost business.
Goodness me, yeah. But, you know, wouldn't your virus protection stop these people from getting through, or are they just too clever?
Yeah, it's a bit of they're too clever, and it's a bit of they're coming at you in another way.
Right.
If they've somehow got your passwords through some other means, and this comes back to the kind of scam sites. I mean, if you put in your email address and you make up a password for that site, you know, don't use the same password you use for your email or use for Facebook or use for anything else. You've got to use a different password for everything. Because the bad guys, if they get your password for one site, they'll then try it on others.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
You know, and break in. So they've gone into this guy's site one way, and really, they're just flooding bad requests at his site. But they look like legitimate traffic. It's a bit like, it's a bit like what's happening in the Sydney Harbour Tunnel this afternoon. Like, everyone's legitimately trying to drive through.
Mm.
It's just overloaded.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, you're right. They're too clever. Look, got to take a break. Trevor Long is probably in the first-class lounge somewhere. I don't know which city he's in. Yeah, that'll be right. And he's going to call us. We'll talk to him as well. We'll talk to you some more after we take a break. And if you folks would like to talk to either of them, 13 13 32 is the number. It is 27 minutes to 4. All right, Still Gerrion's back with me. G'day, Still.
G'day, Tim.
Mate, now, this is something I don't think the listeners would have caught up with, and whether they can get involved with it, I don't know. But the old .com and .net suffixes, government, corporations, charities will be able to apply for their own .Sydney, yeah?
Yeah, or
.Melbourne, or
.Melbourne, .UE, .Tim Webster, .Still Gerrion. Yeah, look, the kind of three-sentence history of this is 20 years ago when we decided to give computers names instead of just numbers on the internet, you know, it was by geeks for geeks, and we were all terribly organised about it and said, look, it has to be .com for a commercial operation, .org for a non-profit, .gov for government and so on. Then it spread out internationally, so we got .au for Australia and a couple of hundred other countries around the place.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of extended a bit, and we got .info and a few others. There's about two dozen different ones. Well, what's happened this week is that's now opened up, so that very last bit of an internet domain name can be literally anything you like. Now, there's two reasons for this. One is that why should it be .com in English? I mean, if you're Chinese or Arabic or Indonesian or
pretty good
Spanish,
point. Pretty good point. Yeah.
Have it in your own language. That's all fair enough. The other one is so that anyone with a major brand can have just that brand as the last part. And I happen to know, for example, that .IBM will be coming along, the big IT company. They will be making sure they have their own and so on.
Okay.
So anyone can go in for this. I must admit, I'm a bit sceptical of it for two reasons. One is that this isn't as easy as just registering 2ue.com.au, which costs, you know, $10 or a few tens of dollars.
Mm.
To get yourself right up in that final space to have what's called a top-level domain, you actually have to set up a lot of technical things to make that domain work on the internet.
Ah, okay.
So it's a bit more complex. The approval process to make sure you've got all of that set up is a bit more complex. So instead of it costing you $30 or $50, it'll cost you $185,000. Thank you very much.
Well, that sort of leaves out your average Joe, doesn't it?
That does. And it's really going to be big players who do that.
Okay. All right.
And the other one, like, why bother? Because, I mean, if people are looking for something on the internet, you just type it into a search engine.
Yeah, and you can. And these days, you don't have to try very hard to figure out if you know somebody is at a particular organisation. You don't have to try too many combinations before you get them, do you?
That's right. And and even the people who make web browsers, they make it easy. Look, I just the example I suggest to everyone is think of an airline name.
Yeah.
Don't think of their whole address. It might be .com or whatever. Don't worry about that. Just type the name of the airline into the address bar in computer, not the search box, the address bar.
Okay.
And sure enough, you'll get some search results, and I'll bet you that the very first thing is what you're looking for.
Oh, that's a very, very good tip. All right, now stay there, mate, because on the line, I dare say he's sipping Chardonnay in the first class lounge, is Trevor Long. Hello, mate.
Chairman's Club.
Oh, we have come up in the world.
No, not at all.
Now, mate, if you want to talk to Trev or Still, give us a call, 13 13 32, because he's miles away, but he can still chat to you. Now, tell us about this thing. Is this really the biggest techo trade show in the history of the planet?
This is the biggest trade show in North America. This is not just the biggest technology show, but it's certainly the biggest technology show in the world. Now, to put it in for some perspective in terms of visual, most of us have been to the Sydney Convention Centre, you know, those five halls.
Yeah.
Those five halls, 25,000 square metres of space. Just the convention centre portion of this show, the Consumer Electronics Show, is 150,000 square metres.
Oh, my God.
And then you add in hotels that host different things and overflow areas where it's out in the car parks and stuff. This thing is ridiculous. It's massive. I probably, Tim, in 4 days saw, I don't know, 60% of it. And of that 60%, I probably only actually got a good look at 30%.
Wow.
So it's really hard to see everything. But the point is to look around and see what the big companies are planning for the year. So let's look at the basics. And the basics are TVs are getting bigger and they're getting thinner. There's these new OLED TVs, hopefully people saw during the week in all the press. They are 4 millimetres thick, Tim. This is staggering stuff to look at. And
four millimetres?
Quite frankly, stunning. They're beautiful. The picture quality is amazing. And when you stand on the side of them and look at them, you just can't believe it's a television. And look, they're going to be very expensive, of course, when they first come out later this year. They'll probably be $10,000. But, you know, in a year or two, when they start coming down, they'll be the prize item for people up on their wall and in the living room. So that's a big thing in television.
We understand, too, Trev, that it was more the small firms that had the more interesting ideas, yeah?
Well, exactly. So this is the thing. You walk through this place and you go, there's these like, great TVs. It's a like amazing a motor show thing. You know, you walk through the motor show and you've got little stands. You've got the Porsches and the holders of these big So the Samsung, the Sony, the LGs had these amazing stands. But then you walk the other floors and you see these little blokes with you know, very small stands and they've got some innovative ideas. Now, I'll give you one of those. I walked past a bloke, and he was literally threw an iPhone in a bucket of water. And I literally took a step back and said, mate, what the hell's going on here? And he said to me, we've developed a nanotechnology that you coat an existing piece of electrical, you know, like this iPhone, and it becomes waterproof. And I stood there for 20 minutes having him explain this to me. Essentially what he's doing, and there was another company doing the same thing, is they've developed the technology, they're patenting that technology, and they're trying to show the technology companies that this is something they should be doing. So I've got to say, in 5 years, I think every phone will be waterproof because this is simple technology that has been developed. Now, they may not want you to submerge them, but certainly they'll be much more open to a little bit of water here and there in the future. So little things like that, little things like there had to have been a million iPhone covers and cases there. innovative charging ideas for your portable devices. Lots of little things that, you know, are going to get picked up around the world. So, and you've got to remember, this is not a public show. So average Joes in Las Vegas can't just walk into the show. You have to either
it's be a trade show,
or it's a trade show. So your Harvey Norman, your Bing Lee, your JB Hi-Fi, those guys were over here, the buyers for those companies were over here looking at all the products going, yeah, we know what's big this year. We can make a plan to bring it to their stores. We can do deals to bring it to their stores. So it's a really important show, an important time of the year for those companies to try and set up their roadmap for the year.
Yeah. Hey, still, I bet you wish you were there.
Which I don't, because I find these trade shows mind-boggling. They're just so big. You work it out. If you want to see anything of note, you've got about 14 seconds per stall or something.
Yeah, right.
Mind you, they tend to put on a good party.
Now, Trev, a lot of people might think this is arrogant. I don't. I think it's cool. I mean, Apple don't turn up because basically they don't really have to, do they?
Well, they never have to.
No.
It's not really arrogant. It's just this is not something they do. And Microsoft have been turning up for years, but they're not going to turn up anymore because, frankly, I walked through the Microsoft stand and there was nothing there. There was nothing new there. It was just, hey, here's some computers as well.
Funny. Oh, really? Yeah.
If you don't have anything to show, why show it? Now, Apple have a history of doing their own thing and making big announcements on their own time. So they're not going to be brought to this time of year. So Samsung and LG and Sony, they know that they've got to get ready for some big product this time of year every year.
Yeah.
Apple have never done it and don't need to do it because people know their products and they want to launch them the way they want to launch them.
And interestingly, Steve Jobs used to be absolutely outstanding, as you know, at presenting his stuff up on stage. He was brilliant at it, but I hear the CEO of Microsoft didn't do so well.
He struggled. I mean, it wasn't an impressive performance. See, the problem is Steve Jobs has set the benchmark for keynote presentations. You know, and there's several keynote presentations across the week of all these companies. The CEO of Intel got up and discussed the things that they were working on. But I guess we have this expectation of big CEOs about how they're going to present and how engaging it will be. And frankly, it wasn't engaging. It wasn't that compelling. And therefore, it was a bit disappointing for people. So I think people were perhaps hoping for a little bit more from him, but there wasn't much there. There wasn't much substance in it. So, you know, Windows 8, the next version of Windows, is coming out later this year. In the end, that's why Microsoft don't need to be at this event, because they will wait until they've got their big product ready. It will be in retail stores and people will rush to get it because it will be a better product.
All right. Well, you can tell me all about it next week, mate.
I will, mate.
And I'll see you then. What time's your plane?
It is at 10:20 Sydney time, LA time, so it's about a couple of hours away.
Okay, mate. Have a safe trip.
Thank you, mate.
That's,
I'll talk to you when I get back.
Yeah, okay, Trev. Thank you, mate. Trev along there. Now, still, don't you go away. I've got to take a break, but there's a couple of things I want to ask you before we... Oh, I'll just take Trevor out. A couple of things I want to ask you before we go away from technology for this particular Saturday. It's 13 to 4. 9 minutes to 4. Now, still, Gerrion's back with us. G'day, mate.
G'day, Tim.
And thanks for joining us for the whole hour, too. I really do appreciate it, mate, with Trev and Steve both over there.
Hey, my pleasure. It's otherwise I'm sitting up at Wentworth Falls in the Blue Mountains inside a very cloudy cloud.
Yes, but you'd be sitting in the clouds, wouldn't you, just about?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Just now is the first time all...
Oh, lost him again. So, I don't know if we can get him back. We'll try. There's just one more thing I wanted to ask him about Google. So if we can get him back, we'll get him back. But that's technology for you, huh? And he would have been on a landline too, wouldn't he? Technology, hey, still.
Much as we love the mobile phone, much as we love being up in the Blue Mountains, the two don't go well together.
Now, two things, just for the listeners. If you are targeted in one of these cyber attacks, there's a phone number you can call, which I didn't know about. Tell listeners about that.
Yeah, look, this is Offcert, which I'll just get their details up in front of me, unless you've got the phone number.
I've got the number.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is Computer Emergency Response,
CERT, the Computer Emergency Response Teams. These grew out of academia when universities were the people who ran the internet. But more so, now there's also one that takes care of the government stuff, but unless we're a government organisation or a major bank or something, they won't really talk to us.
Okay.
But these are the hackers, but the hackers wearing the white hat.
These are the good guys.
They're keeping a track on all these guys, and what they can do is they're constantly in touch with what's going on. They can provide good advice on what you should do to limit the kind of damage to your organization, and also to preserve what evidence you might have, so that if there's any chance of criminal prosecution, you'll have kept the information they need to hand on to the police.
And one last thing before we go for this hour, and I don't know what effect this will have on us, because you can tell me I can't, Google are changing their search results.
Yeah, look, Google launched their Google Plus social network during the course of last year. And what they're doing now is, this will be an option, you can switch it on, switch it off.
Right.
But they've always tried to make the search results relevant to you, relevant to every individual.
Yeah.
And now, if you have a Google profile, a Google Plus profile, I should say, and have built up friends through that, rather than through, say, Facebook or Twitter or one of the others, search results from the people in your network will be ranked higher than those generally on the internet. They reckon it's a good thing because the results will be far more relevant to you personally. All the other people out in the world who might want to be doing business with you go, hey, hang on. Can we all be on a level playing field here?
Yeah.
This will be a controversial issue that'll. I think we'll hear more about this during the course of 2012.
Okay, because I do love Google. I mean, you know, when you say you're looking for anyone on the internet and you don't know their address, I mean, you just Google them and you find them. I think they're terrific. So, well, that's interesting. Just for instance, I am on Facebook, so if I transferred over to Google Plus, I'd get priority. Is that basically it?
That's what people are fearing.
So that's what they want you to do, yeah.
Yeah, that they want you to use their network and they'll then have direct access to all of your personal network rather than having to infer it through looking at Facebook. And Google says, actually, they follow the rules and Facebook's terms and conditions specifically say someone like Google is not allowed to index all of their information.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Well, in fact, it's all been interesting, mate. Thank you. Thanks for joining us this week. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, my pleasure, Tim.
Good on you, still. Still Gerrion in there at 3 minutes to 4.